India needs to grow at 9 to 10% per annum, year after year, year after year, for 3 decades, so that we can make India a fully developed nation. Today, in 30 seconds and 1 minute, you can take an insurance policy, you can open a bank account, you can do a stock transaction in 30 seconds. Bank of International Settlements said that actually India has achieved in 9 years what would have taken India 50 years to achieve.
But there's a constant tussle between the center and the state. I don't want to go into political, but let's say the chief minister of Delhi, Arvind Kejriwal, he's in jail for XYZ reasons.
There is no politics in development. Jaise main government of India mein pahuncha, uske ek महीने के अंदर वो ट्विन टावर ब्लास्ट हुआ न्यूयॉर्क में, हमारे पार्लियामेंट पर अटैक हुआ, अफगानिस्तान वॉर हुआ और टूरिज्म बहुत नीचे गिर गया. पीक ऑफ द क्राइसिस वी लॉन्च द इनक्रेडिबल इंडिया कैंपेन. दैट कैंपेन लेड टू द रिवाइवल ऑफ टूरिज्म इन इंडिया.
संजीव सान्याल सर मेंशन इन अ पॉडकास्ट दैट यूपीएससी इज अ वेस्ट ऑफ टाइम.
आई डू नॉट एग्री.
हाय, दिस इज सिद्धार्थ अहलूवालिया, योर होस्ट एट नियॉन शो. I'm also co-founder of Neon Fund, a B2B SaaS fund that invests in the most enterprising B2B SaaS companies that come out of India and are building for the globe. Today's episode focuses a lot on policy making. What has happened in the last 10-20 years in India? What policies were created that are impacting a current generation now? And what are the policies that are getting created now that will impact yours, mine, and everyone's future in India in the next 10-20 years? Today I have with me Amitabh Kant. He is the G20 Sherpa. He is the ex-CEO of Niti Aayog, which is the think tank of India. And he is the one who has interacted very closely with the Prime Minister Shri Narendra Modi in the last 10 years to build the policy framework, the digital and the physical infrastructure for India. Stay tuned to this episode. Please subscribe to the Neon Show. And I would like to thank our sponsors, Prime Venture Partners, for sponsoring the Neon Show. Hope you enjoy this episode. I love your book, Elephant Moves, India's New Place in the World. Right? It has so much insights, what has historically happened and what's going to happen in the future. And the next 25 years are the Amrit Kaal for India. So would you shed your light on it? What does Amrit Kaal mean?
So the ambition of India, as the Prime Minister spelled out, is that we must become a developed nation.
Yes.
And in every country's history, there is a period when there is growth, there is progress, there is prosperity, there is development, because the momentum is there for growth. This happened in the case of Japan in the post-World War II period. This happened in the case of Korea later. This has happened in the case of Singapore. This has happened in the case of Taiwan. And in recent times, China actually grew at very high rates for a 3-decade period. So India has grown at high rates, but it's grown for a short period of 5 to 6 years. India needs to grow at 9 to 10% per annum, year after year, year after year, year after year, for 3 decades. So that we can make India a fully developed nation. Now, when we say fully developed nation, that means that not only should our GDP become $35 trillion, that's not the objective alone, but the quality of life of citizens should improve. We have lifted in the last decade, 25 million people above the poverty line. You know, 25 crore people above the poverty.
Almost 250 million
people.
1/6 of India's population.
Yes. We have done that with 25 crore people. Now, the challenge is that India's per capita income must rise. And that will happen if we are able to do consistent levels of growth over a long period of time. We need to maintain the momentum of reforms, of structural reforms. We need to accelerate the pace of infrastructure creation. We need to get into new areas of growth. All this is very critical in the coming years.
So I want to start with a little history, right? You mentioned in your book, like the parliament in 1960s, right, spent much time debating over the famine stocked parts of the land. Like even in our dinner tables, the government told us, eat less rice, eat more wheat, cut out rice plate for dinners, have chapatis instead. Mm. And the food habits of Indian changed, right? And in West Bengal, the Congress chief minister said that, you know, to change the food habits of the Bengalis, that, hey, cut down on sweets.
Yeah.
Right? And it irked Bengalis so much that they, instead of Congress at the in the state, they got the Communist Party.
Hmm.
Right? So, you mentioned, right, the Marx may never advocate that remove Rasgulla from the Bengalis.
No, actually, what has happened is we moved from an era of great shortages.
Yes.
When I first came to Delhi, to get a fixed telephone connection, I had to actually go to the telecom minister, get a special quota issued. There was a quota for LPG connection. On everything, there was a shortage. So, we used to use political connections to get, ministers used to have quotas for telephone connections, for cars, for LPG, for everything, there was a quota. So, we have moved a long way from an era of shortages to an era of prosperity. And this has happened because we have unleashed production, we've unleashed productivity, we have opened up market economics, and now, in the last 10 decades, I think the real transformational work, to my mind, which has been done, is in digitizing India's economy, because everybody has an Aadhaar. Between 2015, 2017, we created over 550 million bank accounts. That means, imagine 55 crore bank accounts were opened in India. And then we linked up Aadhaar and mobile numbers with the bank account. And this enabled India to do fast payments. So actually, this mobile has now become the bank. All Indians do transaction through mobile. This is the bank. And India does 46% of the real-time fast payment in the world is done by India. So we are very far advanced in digitization.
And sir, this pace has happened in just the last 10 years, all the digital infra.
Yeah. So what has happened in the last 10 years is that not only have we built, we've technologically not leapfrogged but pole vaulted. And once you had created this infrastructure, people started doing fast payments. But you had a whole range of new startups who started giving credit based on payment history. Then you had another set of startups which started actually taking stock market into the rural areas, tier 2, tier 3 cities. So if you look at Zerodha, Grow Upstock, they went to tier 2, tier 3 cities. And then you had another set of companies, young startups, which started giving insurance. So today in 30 seconds and 1 minute, you can take an insurance policy, which in my time when I was young used to take me 6 months, 7 months. You can open a bank account in 30 seconds. You can do a stock transaction in 30 seconds. So, India's really jumped in digitization. But I think the big thing that's happened is that what the Bank of International Settlements said, that actually India has achieved in 9 years what would have taken India 50 years to achieve. 50 years to achieve. So that is the digital story. But I think the big thing that happened was in infrastructure. Because if you look at it, we provided 4 crore houses. 4 crore logon ko ghar diye gaye. Matlab uska matlab hai ki Australia ki population humne yahan itni us population ko humne ghar diya. Humne kareeb, aap dekhiye to kareeb 12 crore logon ko toilets diye. 12 crore logon ko toilets matlab Germany ki population ko humne toilets diye. Puri Germany ki. Humne kareeb 25 crore logon ko पानी दिया, जिसका मतलब है कि ब्राजील की जनसंख्या को हमने पानी दिया, पूरी जनसंख्या, और करीब हमने 55,000 किलोमीटर सड़कें बनाई, हाईवेज बनाए, तो और करीब 3.5 करोड़ लोगों को बिजली घर पे पहुंचाई, तो ये दिखाता है कि इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर जो बढ़ा है देश में पिछले 10 सालों में, और भारत का जो बजट एलोकेशन होता है इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर का, कैपेक्स स्पेंड जिसको हम कहते हैं, वो 1% से लेकर 4.5% तक बढ़ा, और उसकी वजह से हम बहुत कुछ इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर में कर पाए, बहुत कुछ हमने किया इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर में, और ये देश को बहुत आगे ले जाएगा आगे आगे कमिंग ईयर्स में, और दिस विल रियली ड्राइव द ग्रोथ मोमेंटम ऑफ इंडिया इन द कमिंग ईयर्स। एंड आई थिंक बोथ द डिजिटल इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर एंड इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर आर टू बिग स्टोरीज ऑफ इंडिया विच नो अदर कंट्री इन द वर्ल्ड हैज डन।
कंप्लीटली अग्री विद यू सर। आई थिंक इंडिया इज द फर्स्ट कंट्री दैट लीप्ड फ्रॉग्ड डिजिटल इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर बाय एनी मीन्स, राइट? एंड देन नाउ द फिजिकल इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर इज इक्वली कैचिंग अप विद द डिजिटल।
मैं तो काफी जाता रहता हूँ विदेश कभी कभी, तो जब यूरोप का आप इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर देखिए, हमारे एयरपोर्ट इस समय यूरोप से ज्यादा बेहतर है। आप बैंगलोर का एयरपोर्ट देखिएगा, मुंबई का देखिएगा, दिल्ली का एयरपोर्ट, हैदराबाद का एयरपोर्ट, ये एयरपोर्ट इस समय फ्रैंकफर्ट और लंदन एयरपोर्ट से ज्यादा अच्छे हैं, और हमारी सड़कें इस समय यूरोप की सड़कों से ज्यादा अच्छी बन रही हैं। तो हमको यही मोमेंटम आगे ले जाना है, क्योंकि इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर बहुत मोमेंटम देगा ग्रोथ को, अगर हमें 9-10% से आगे बढ़ना है। एक और चीज मैं बोलना चाहूंगा जिस पर प्रधानमंत्री जी का बड़ा एम्फेसिस रहा है डिजिटल और इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर के अलावा, वो है हम कैसे एक एनर्जी ट्रांजिशन करें और कैसे ग्रीन देश बने, क्योंकि आगे चल के क्लाइमेट ट्रांजिशन पर बड़ा फोकस होगा, एंड एनर्जी ट्रांजिशन विल बिकम अ की एरिया। और इस क्षेत्र में भी हमने करीब 187 गीगावाट रिन्यूएबल एनर्जी प्रोड्यूस करी, और हमने करीब 12 करोड़ महिलाओं को कुकिंग गैस कनेक्शन दिया, और अब सोलर रूफटॉप स्कीम आई है, और आगे चल के ग्रीन हाइड्रोजन मिशन अनाउंस हुआ है कि हम रिन्यूएबल को यूज करेंगे, पानी को क्रैक करके हम ग्रीन हाइड्रोजन बनाएंगे, जिससे कि हम अभी आप देखिए हम 180 बिलियन की हम फॉसिल फ्यूल एनर्जी इंपोर्ट करते हैं। हमारा लक्ष्य अमृतकाल में यह है जो माननीय प्रधानमंत्री जी ने कहा कि हम 2047 तक हम इंपोर्ट करने के बदले एनर्जी, क्लीन एनर्जी को एक्सपोर्ट करेंगे, तो वी विल बी एन एक्सपोर्टर ऑफ क्लीन एनर्जी रादर देन एन इंपोर्टर ऑफ 180 बिलियन वर्थ ऑफ फॉसिल फ्यूल।
एंड दिस इज वन ऑफ द बिगेस्ट इंपोर्ट्स फॉर अस।
This is the biggest import for us.
And this is the reason that the economy got into deficit before 1991.
Absolutely. So, this book, The Elephant Moves, is a story of how India has transitioned radically in the last decade. Because ye kaha jata tha ki ye to hathi hai, mudega hi nahi, chalega hi nahi, or it is impossible for the elephant to move and will move very slowly. किसी ने कह दिया ये तो हिंदू रेट ऑफ ग्रोथ है 3% की। तो ये दिखाता है कि अगर पॉलिटिकल विल हो और अगर एडमिनिस्ट्रेटिव ड्राइव हो तो हमारी ग्रोथ बढ़ेगी, हमारे यहाँ स्ट्रक्चरल रिफॉर्म्स होंगे, हमारे यहाँ डिजिटाइजेशन होगा, हम एनर्जी के क्षेत्र में काफी क्वांटम जंप लगाएंगे। और मुझे जो खुशी होती है कि इस गवर्नमेंट ने कई फ्यूचरिस्टिक चीजें की हैं, जैसे क्वांटम कंप्यूटिंग मिशन हो या आर्टिफिशियल इंटेलिजेंस का मिशन हो या फिर सेमीकंडक्टर का मिशन हो। ये तीन मिशन्स जो अनाउंस किए हैं ये बड़े फॉरवर्ड और प्रोग्रेसिव मिशन है जो भारत को आगे ले जाएंगे।
सर वील टेक जैब्स इन दिस पॉडकास्ट बिटवीन द पास्ट एंड द फ्यूचर एंड द सेम यू हैव डन इन योर बुक द एलिफेंट मूव्स, राइट? So want to spend like 1 or 2 minute on P.C. Mahanalobis.
Yeah.
So his story, what are the things that he created and what are the things that we have now discarded what he created and what are the things that are still there?
Yeah.
Up to you, sir.
So, dekhi jo, jab main sarkar mein aaya 1980 mein, to pehli baar jab main government offices mein gaya, to everything was controlled. All licenses were issued. Everything you imported or exported was controlled, and even to produce anything you required a government license. So that led to government officials becoming very powerful. There was no private incentive to produce, and actually the ministries became very powerful in terms of issuing licenses. It became a license Raj economy. So we have gone from British Raj to license Raj. From holding about 40% of the global GDP, we came down to 5% of the global GDP. By the time we became independent, which came down even further. And it's only now that our share of global GDP has grown and expanded in recent times. And that is why I believe that while the model of P.C. Mahalanobis may have been relevant at one particular time in our history, we need to move forward and we need to actually create a market-based economy where the private sector must drive India's growth story. The government should only act as a facilitator. The government should only act as a catalyst. And even when the government intervenes, like we are intervening in the production-linked incentive scheme, we are saying that the private sector must produce higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. For the next 5 years, continuously, year after year after year after year. And only if they produce and are able to capture global markets and we are able to produce global champions, will the government support you through the production-linked incentive scheme. So the thinking now is make India easy, make India simple. So Prime Minister's focus was that over the years we've built up a lot of rules, regulation, procedures, paperwork. So we scrapped a lot of paperwork, we scrapped a lot of regulation, we digitized everything. And India is the only country which has scrapped over 1600 laws. No other country this has been done. So outdated laws have been scrapped. We have digitized everything. We jumped up about 79 positions in the World Bank ease of doing business. And we made India easy and simple. And now the next wave is to carry the same momentum to every single state of India.
And sir, one important thing, you know, I want to bring up right now, like Sanjeev Sanyal, sir, mentioned in our podcast that UPSC is a waste of time. Union Public Service Commission was created by the British authorities in India. And I think we are still building government officers on the same. You have been a UPSC IAS officer. What's your views on that?
See, there is a great sense of pride in working for India and with the government of India. So there are a lot of Indians who want to work with the government. And they get a lot of job satisfaction. I have worked for over 44 years and I think the extent of job satisfaction that I have got, the ability to do Kerala, God's own country, to work with fishermen in Kerala, to work with Incredible India in Delhi, to do Make in India, to do Startup India, to do Aspirational District Program, and later to do the G20 as Sherpa. I could not have got anywhere else in the world, in any private sector of India or abroad. So government gives you a different job satisfaction. It gives you the size and scale which you can never get in the private sector. But private sector is very important. I am a believer that the government should act as catalyst. Government should handhold, officers should handhold the private sector to make it grow. And they need to work in very close partnership with the private sector. So the point which Mr. Sanyal made, I do not agree. I believe that a lot of people aspire to work for the government because they want to contribute to nation building. They want to contribute to nation development. And that satisfaction you can never get anywhere else. But I also feel that the process of the UPSC examination needs to have be relooked at so that people do not end up wasting 10 years of their life. We can have a GMAT kind of format of examination which can then enable them to give the main examination. If you've cleared that once, you need not give the preliminary exam again and again. But that is something which the UPSC and Department of Personnel can examine, whether the exam should be structured in a manner where within a period once you've cleared the GMAT, you can give the main exam. That's a possibility so that people do not end up wasting many years of their productive life for this. That's all I would say. But UPSC clearance is for working for the government. And governments give you the scale of transformation, which the ability to transform your country, the ability to transform, bring in policy, the ability to do, make a difference at the grassroots level. That level of satisfaction with integrity, with honesty, you can never get in anywhere else.
And sir, do you think the role of a government officer, an IAS officer, has changed over a period of time? For example, it's been shown in media that IAS officers of the last years were very restricted by whoever is the government. And do the working style of IAS officers have become more independent, more free over a period of time?
So the content has transformed because the nature of governments have changed. India has changed. India has redefined itself. India is far more growth and prosperous country now. So the challenge, when I was a district collector, I did not know whether my district has changed. However hard you worked, data was not available. When I did the aspirational district program, it is possible to get data on your mobile on a real-time basis now. So you can govern much better based on data. You can make districts compete on data. You can know the learning outcomes, the health outcomes, the nutritional standard. Everything can be today based on data for governance. You can make a massive difference on a real-time basis. That was not possible earlier. Secondly, you are not in the period where you have to control. You're not in a period where you have to issue licenses. You are in a period where you have to bring in predictability and consistency of policy. You are in a period where you have to encourage the private sector. You are in a period where you have to assist and facilitate the private sector. We are in a period where we have to transform India at the grassroots level. We are in a period where we have to make a difference to the lives of citizens by improving learning outcomes, health outcomes. And I think that is the difference. Now and then.
As a, from your book only, right, want to know the story of how Maruti 800 at that point in time associated itself with the rise of middle class, and how did India transition from, let's say, gold spot to Coca-Cola, Doordarshan to cable TV, Maruti to an array of automobiles to pick from, and the Indian palate began to see a variety of choices.
So, you know, the aspiration of India at that period of time. And I remember when Maruti came out, aspiration of every single middle class Indian was to own a Maruti. And therefore it became the symbol of the middle class, of the growing and prospering middle class. But the middle class has grown in size and scale. It's almost about 34% of India now. And since then you've seen a number of new cars come in. You've seen Tatas, you've seen Mahindras, you've seen Toyota, you've seen Hyundai. Many other manufacturers come in and they've used India as a manufacturing base for exports to the rest of the world. And now the next big aspiration for every middle class Indian will be to own an electric vehicle. And actually today we are pushing for 100% electrification of two-wheelers and three-wheelers. And we are pushing for greater electrification. So what you will see in India in the coming years is a huge competition between Tesla coming into India. You will see Hyundai, you will see Maruti, but you will see in the Indian companies, you will see Tatas, which has already taken the lead in electric vehicles. You will see Mahindra with a new EV platform. And therefore, all these new cars which will come in, India will become the most dynamic market. We are already the biggest manufacturer of three-wheelers. We are the second biggest manufacturer of two-wheelers. We are the third biggest manufacturer of buses in the world, and we are the fourth biggest manufacturer of cars in the world. We export a lot, but the world is going through a disruption. The world is moving from combustion to electric vehicles, and therefore India must take the lead. We must become not merely a consumer of electric vehicles, but we should become an exporter of electric vehicles. And that means that you're moving from 2,000 parts to 20 parts. and you need to train your manpower and skills for the new revolution of the electric mobility in the future. Electric mobility will be clean, it will be cutting edge, and it will drive the middle class of India in the future.
So since we are talking about the middle class, right, at present, we are, as you said in your book, we are a lower middle class income country with prosperity levels around $2,200 at $7,200 with, you know, purchasing parity. And we have had an interesting journey where significant gains and challenges have happened over a piece of the years. The rupee has been devalued since 1991. And the country aims to attain an upper middle class position. And the aspiration of the country is that we would be a $60 trillion economy in the next, hopefully, 25 years. And the country would continue to grow at least 8 to 9% year on year.
Yeah. So the important thing is that we need to do consistent level of growth year after year, year after year. If we don't grow on a consistent basis, it's important that for this to happen, you need many states of India to become champions. You need about 12, 13 states to grow at 10%. And therefore, the next round of reforms have to be carried out by the states. You also need a lot of large companies. You need about not just Adani and Ambani, you need 10,000 large companies in India. Because they will create the ecosystem for MSMEs, they will create SMEs, there'll be backward forward linkages, and that is, large companies are then able to penetrate global markets. So we need many, many more large companies to be able to penetrate global markets. But in the next 3 to 4 decades, we need many states of India to become global champions. We are seeing huge transformation in Uttar Pradesh in terms of roads, in terms of electricity, in terms of infrastructure. So UP is a very large state. If it was a country, it will be the fifth largest economy in the world, you know, because of its population. And therefore, if UP transforms, then India transforms. If Bihar transforms, if Chhattisgarh transforms, if Jharkhand transforms, if all Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, all of them start growing at high rates, then India will be growing at 10% plus for the next 3-4 decades.
So it's a very interesting thing that, you know, now the reforms at center have been done, right? And now we are dependent on the states doing reform. But there's a constant tussle between, you know, the center and the state. For example, you know, I don't want to go into political, but let's say the chief minister of Delhi, Arvind Kejriwal, he's in jail for XYZ reasons, right? And the Delhi state has to suffer because the leader is not governing the state. He's in jail. So do you see this tussle to impact a level of growth, which you mentioned 10% year on year?
No, so the Prime Minister has believed in cooperative and competitive federalism. We have ranked states earlier. We have worked with the states very closely. Niti Aayog worked very closely. We started ranking states on a range of areas, education, health, water management, ease of doing business, all these areas. First year we did this, Gujarat came number one. Next year, Andhra beat Gujarat. Third year, Telangana beat Andhra and Gujarat. But the good thing was that Jharkhand and Chhattisgarh, which were 25th and 26th, came 4th and 5th. And therefore, my view is that there is no politics in development. In development issues, we all work together. We cooperate, we compete, we make India grow. That is important. And I think we should work in the same spirit of cooperative and competitive federalism of one team India.
Sir, so you mentioned the book, right? The GDP per capita highest is for Goa, Sikkim and Chandigarh. Mm. And the lowest is for Bihar, Assam and Jharkhand and Chhattisgarh as the next. So why is it so? What led to these states at such fast GDP and these states coming at the bottom?
So two things. One is my belief is that these are smaller states. Number two, the extent of urbanization is much more. And it's important that in more populous states, very large percentage of our population is dependent on agriculture. So if 40 to 42% of your population is dependent on agriculture in these states, you have very low paid jobs. You need to manufacture. Very important that to understand that manufacturing gives good quality jobs. But even if manufacturing is not there, there's good quality urbanization. Urbanization leads to good manufacturing. Urbanization leads to better quality of jobs. And therefore, you look at Uttar Pradesh, the Gautam Buddha Nagar, the Noida and Greater Noida today, their GDP is 11 times higher, 11 times higher than the next district of Uttar Pradesh, which is Kanpur. So, manufacturing urbanization gives you better GDP, or better growth, better quality of life, better per capita income than agriculture. And we need to reduce the dependency on agriculture. That is critical. And therefore, these states need to focus on manufacturing. They need to focus on skills. They need to focus on urbanization. And that will drive their growth story for the future.
And sir, today, Jharkhand and Chhattisgarh, they are the most mineral rich states, as you have stated previously, right? Why they have remained poor?
I think the other point I want to make is that quality of governance is very important. Aspirational district program has shown us that it was not money. We were not providing great amount of money, but we were providing good governance. If you are able to govern better, if you are able to give better quality of governance, then you are able to transform lives of citizens. You need young officers for a very long time, for a period of 10 years, 12 years. We need officers over a long period of time on the same job. If they remain there, then you are able to bring results. We need to ensure that we are able to fill up the posts of teachers, of doctors in the districts. You will see radical transformation. It's just nothing but good governance based on data.
And that is, the system that you implemented at Niti Aayog, ranking states, ranking districts.
That's right. An aspirational district program, which the Prime Minister didn't call them backward, Prime Minister called them aspirational district. There are many districts, your viewers may not have even heard the name of Kifre in Nagaland, or Ribhui in Meghalaya, or Malkangiri in Orissa. They are very far-flung districts, very, very far away. And no doctor, no teacher would go there. They would remain, posts would remain vacant. We got them all filled up. And these districts on ranking competed and delivered. And they gave us the results which transformed the lives of citizens in India. 20%, 21% of the citizens' life in these districts was transformed because of that.
So before we now dive into the second part of the episode, want to know your journey today from an IAS officer to a technocrat to a thought leader, how that has shaped up in the last 44 years of service.
I started my career in a small town called Thalassery in the Malabar region of Kerala, which is the northern part of Kerala. It was a very fascinating area, and I was able to do some good work in terms of improving, which I felt was the lives of many people living in that area. And later I worked with the traditional fishermen of Kerala for about 4 years as the CEO of what was a new organization called the Malsafed. And I was able to give new outboard motors, new crafts, fiberglass crafts, fishing nets, known as the disco nets, to fishermen. I introduced beach level auctions, and I was able to improve the earnings of fishermen. And I was able to introduce buses to take fisherwomen to the cities so that they could sell. They were not able to carry their baskets in normal buses. So we introduced separate fisherwomen buses. And this helped us to change the lives of fishermen. Later, I was made the managing director of the State Industrial Development Corporation. And I realized that actually Kerala was, because of its labor strife, many other challenges, while Kerala was not suited for industries, it was very ideally suited for tourism. So I assisted and supported the tourism sector of Kerala. And then I ran into some problems with the communist government and I was without a posting for about 10 months. And as a punishment posting, I was posted in the tourism sector. And nobody had heard of tourism then in Kerala.
This is which year, sir?
This was about the early 90s.
Okay.
And nobody had heard of tourism in Kerala. And everyone used to go to Rajasthan or go to Kashmir. And there was only one destination, the Kovalam Beach. Now, I opened up the backwaters of Kerala. I brought back houseboats. I opened up Ayurveda. I brought back the traditional martial art of Kerala, Kalaripayattu. I brought back the traditional architecture of Kerala. And we brought back the traditional art forms of Kerala. Kathakali, Mohiniyattam, all these, Thayyam, all these. We differentiated Kerala from the rest of the world and we took it from $20 to a $500 destination. And then one day I got a call that the Prime Minister is the Principal Secretary to the Prime Minister called me to say that the Prime Minister, Mr. Atal Bihari Vajpayee, will come to Kerala and he'll stay there. And he will not meet any politician, but you make all arrangements and you be with him. And for 1 week, Mr. Vajpayee, I arranged his stay in Kumaragam in the backwaters of Kerala. He stayed there for about a week and I was with him. And one day, Mr. Brijesh Mishra, his secretary, said that, told the Prime Minister that we should bring Amitabh Kant to Delhi. So Prime Minister ne mere se pucha ki aap Delhi ke liye, aapne Bharat Sarkar ke liye apply kiya hai? To maine kaha nahi, maine to nahi apply kiya. To he said ki aap mat apply kariyega. Agar aap apply kariyega, to Brijesh Mishra ji aapko tourism ke badle women and child welfare mein bhej denge. To wo baat wahan khatam ho gayi. Maine 1.5 saal baad apply kiya. Mujhe finance ministry mein jana tha, par wo tourism mein vacancy nahi thi us samay. Par unhone mujhe tourism mein vacancy banakar wahan mujhe bheja. और जैसे ही मैं गवर्नमेंट ऑफ इंडिया में पहुंचा, उसके एक महीने के अंदर वो ट्विन टावर ब्लास्ट हुआ न्यूयॉर्क में, हमारे पार्लियामेंट पर अटैक हुआ और अफगानिस्तान वॉर हुआ और टूरिज्म बहुत नीचे गिर गया और हमारी ऑक्यूपेंसी केवल 10-15% चल रही थी. तो उस पीक ऑफ द रिफॉर्म्स, व्हेन पीक ऑफ द क्राइसिस, पीक ऑफ द चैलेंज, व्हेन देयर वाज वेरी लो ऑक्यूपेंसी, इंडोनेशिया, थाईलैंड, मलेशिया, ऑल हैड स्टॉप्ड देयर marketing campaign, we launched the Incredible India campaign. That campaign led to the revival of tourism in India, that led to the growth of India tourism, and that led to a completely new momentum of new infrastructure, new airports being created. And uske baad phir main tourism se baad mein maine Delhi Mumbai industrial corridor kiya, phir main secretary department of industrial policy bana jab ye government aayi. और उस समय ईज ऑफ डूइंग बिजनेस पे फोकस हुआ, मेक इन इंडिया पे फोकस हुआ. प्रधानमंत्री जी ने स्टार्टअप इंडिया शुरू करवाया, जिससे उस समय केवल 156 स्टार्टअप्स थे, आज करीब 1,25,000 स्टार्टअप्स है, 115 यूनिकॉर्न्स हैं. और फिर हम लोगों ने उसके बाद जब मेरा टर्म वहां से खत्म हुआ, तो मुझे सीओ नीति आयोग प्रधानमंत्री जी ने पोस्ट किया, वो चेयरमैन थे नीति आयोग के. तो वहां बहुत नई चीजों पर फोकस करना का अवसर मिला, आर्टिफिशियल इंटेलिजेंस, इलेक्ट्रिक व्हीकल्स और एस्पिरेशनल डिस्ट्रिक्ट प्रोग्राम. और फिर जब 7 साल हो गए थे नीति आयोग में, तो मुझे G20 का शर्पा बनाया गया. ये भी बहुत बड़ा चैलेंज था और इस चैलेंज में ये एक अवसर था कि हम सबको मिलाकर एक कंसेंसस ला सके. और कई चैलेंजेस के बावजूद भारत ने प्रधानमंत्री जी की लीडरशिप में 100% कंसेंसस बिल्डअप किया सारे मेजर इश्यूज पे. और रशिया यूक्रेन इश्यूज पे, जिस पे यूएन कुछ चर्चा नहीं कर पाया था, हम एक कंसेंसस बनाकर आगे बढ़े. और भारत ने जो अचीव किया वो बहुत ही महत्वपूर्ण चीज थी कि 100% कंसेंसस अक्रॉस एवरी इश्यू इन द न्यू दिल्ली लीडर्स डिक्लेरेशन.
सर, आई वांट टू आस्क यू अ सीक्रेट. You are 68, but you hardly look like 50.
So, ये आप मेरे से पूछ रहे हैं कि मैं यंग लगता हूँ क्योंकि मैं
अब यंग लगते हैं बहुत
नहीं हाँ। यंग लगने का कारण ये है क्योंकि मैं देखिए एक तो मैं हमेशा पॉजिटिव रहता मैं मेरे में नेगेटिविटी नहीं आती मैं कोई नेगेटिव कहता भी है तो मैं नेगेटिव सुनता नहीं हूँ मैं पॉजिटिविटी में बिलीव करता हूँ मैं ऑप्टिमिज्म में बिलीव करता हूँ दूसरा मैं एक्सरसाइज में बिलीव करता हूँ तो मैं खेलता हूँ और मैं हर रोज करीब 1.5 घंटे एक्सरसाइज करता हूँ सुबह 6:30 से 8 बजे मेरा समय होता है मैं उस समय केवल एक्सरसाइज करता हूँ और कुछ नहीं करता और मेरे दूसरी जो मेरी विचारधारा है कि रात में जल्दी जो भी खाना है कम खाके 6:30-7 बजे खाना खा लेना चाहिए मैं ये 3 बेसिक फिलोसफीज पर मैं काम करता हूँ
यू आर सो यंग एट हार्ट यू आर ऑलमोस्ट स्पीकिंग एवरी डे एट अ पब्लिक फोरम
नहीं मैं कुछ ना कुछ बिलीव करता हूँ कि आपको अपना माइंड अलर्ट रखना है आपको अपना आपको एक्टिव रखना है आपको अपने आप को जो नई टेक्नोलॉजी ट्रांसफॉर्मेशन हो रही है जो नया चेंजेस हो रहे हैं उसमें मेरे को इंटरेस्ट है और मैं मेजर इंटरनेशनल डेवलपमेंट्स को ट्रैक करता हूँ मैं परस्यू करता हूँ मैं उनको फॉलो अप करता हूँ
सर आपने स्टार्टअप्स में इन्वेस्ट किया है कभी
मैंने इन्वेस्ट नहीं किया क्योंकि मैं उनपे स्टार्टअप्स में इसके साथ मैं डील करता था तो उसमें इन्वेस्ट करना ठीक नहीं था पर मैं सबको मोटिवेट करता हूँ मैं उनको मेंटर करता हूँ और बहुत सारे स्टार्टअप्स मेरी एडवाइस लेते हैं मैं लगातार उनके साथ इंटरेक्ट करता हूँ
एंड सर नाउ कमिंग बैक टू सम पार्ट्स ऑफ द बुक राइट व्हिच आई वांट टू कवर राइट यू मेंशन देयर आर सम लेवल्स ऑफ इनइक्वालिटी इन इंडिया राइट व्हाट आर दोस
देखिए क्या है मेरा मेरा जो विचार है जो फिलॉसफी है कि अगर भारत को 9-10% पर अगले 3 दशक तक ग्रो करना है फॉर 3 decades देन यू नीड अ ह्यूज फोकस ऑन सोशल सेक्टर्स ऑल्सो विच इज व्हाट हैज बीन द न्यू एजुकेशन पॉलिसी हैज कम आउट वी हैव ब्रॉट इन ह्यूज अमाउंट ऑफ एम्फेसिस ऑन हेल्थ थ्रू हेल्थ इंश्योरेंस और वी हैव laid a lot of emphasis on nutrition now. All these are critical and therefore good governance must be brought in some states so that states which are lagging behind so that we are able to ensure that we grow with equity which has been emphasized that growth with equity, growth with inclusion and the digital transformation that is that has taken us forward should enable us to grow with equity in the future as well.
And sir, you have said this many times, ki every policy should be only be created for 5 years, both at center and state level.
Uska mera ye raha hamesha raha hai ki predictability aur consistency of policy honi chahiye. Aur जो दुनिया में ट्रांसफॉर्मेशन हो रहा है जो डिसरप्शन हो रहा है इतना डिसरप्शन हो रहा है कि अगर आप एक पॉलिसी आज बना देते हैं तो वो लगातार डिसरप्ट इतने जोरों की हो रही कि इनोवेशन इज मच फास्टर देन द पॉलिसी मेकिंग तो उसको कांस्टेंट रिव्यू करना आवश्यक है कि क्या और पॉलिसी चेंज लाना है क्योंकि हमें और मार्केट को खोलना जरूरी है हमें प्रेडिक्टिबिलिटी लानी है कंसिस्टेंसी लानी है पर उसको कांस्टेंट मॉनिटरिंग उसकी आवश्यक है
आई थिंक सर जो बहुत ज्यादा डिफरेंस देख पा रहा हूँ गवर्नमेंट लीडर्स आप जैसे हैं संजीव सोनियाल सर जैसे यू आर द मोस्ट डेटा ड्रिवन पीपल इन द कंट्री राइट इतना मैं स्टार्टअप एंटरप्रेन्योर्स को भी नहीं देखता या वेंचर कैपिटलिस्ट को भी नहीं देखता तो इसका क्या रीजन है
देखिए डेटा के बिना तो ट्रांसफॉर्मेशन पॉसिबल नहीं है डेटा के बिना एनालिसिस पॉसिबल नहीं डेटा के बिना कौन अच्छा कर रहा है कौन पूरा कर रहा है वो तो पॉसिबल नहीं है और आज डेटा मिनट टू मिनट आपको मिल जाएगा हर मिनट और आप हर चीज को ट्रैक कर सकते हैं और इंडिया में अगर डेटा को नहीं यूज करिएगा तो फिर कोई फायदा नहीं क्योंकि अगर इंडिया को टेक्नोलॉजिकली लीपफ्रॉग करना है किसी और देश में ये पॉसिबिलिटी नहीं क्योंकि हम हर 3 मिनट पर एक नया इंटरनेट यूजर ऐड कर रहे हैं और आपके पास इस समय कनेक्टिविटी है आप डेटा कहीं ला सकते हैं और तुरंत मॉनिटर करके दिखा सकते हैं एस्पिरेशनल डिस्ट्रिक्ट प्रोग्राम में जब मैं कर रहा था तो देखिए मलकानगिरी कलेक्टर मेरे पास आए और वो ट्रेन से आए थे उड़ीसा से और उन्होंने कहा कि मैं 3रे पोजीशन पे आ रहा हूं इस समय प्रोग्राम में, और मेरा लक्ष्य कि मैं नंबर वन पे आऊं। वो करीब 48 घंटे पहले वहां से चले थे। मैंने अपना डैशबोर्ड खोला और देखा कि मलकानगिरी 48 घंटे के अंदर, जब से वो चले थे तब से, वो तीसरे पोजीशन से स्लिप करके सातवें पोजीशन पर चले गए थे 48 घंटे के अंदर। तो मैंने कहा कि भैया आप तो सातवें पोजीशन पर रहोगे, अगर आपको नंबर वन आना है तो बहुत मेहनत करनी पड़ेगी अभी जाके। तो ये मिनट टू मिनट ट्रैकिंग से ये फर्क पड़ता है, पता नहीं।
एंड यू आर थिंकिंग ऑल द डिस्ट्रिक्ट्स अक्रॉस द कंट्री नाउ आर कंपीटिंग इन अ हिल।
कंपीट होना चाहिए हर डिस्ट्रिक्ट में। मैं अभी एस्पिरेशनल डिस्ट्रिक्ट में हो रहा है, एस्पिरेशनल ब्लॉक्स में हो रहा है, पर ये मॉडल हर जगह लगाना बहुत आवश्यक है।
सर क्या ये डेटा सिटीजन को पब्लिक है, लाइक आई कैन चेक दिस डेटा?
वो तो डेटा अवेलेबल था, एस्पिरेशनल डिस्ट्रिक्ट का सारा डेटा, सारे डेटा पब्लिक डोमेन में डालने आवश्यक हैं, क्योंकि तभी हम नेम और शेम कर पाएंगे। हम एमएलए को, एमपी को, डिस्ट्रिक्ट कलेक्टर्स को बता पाएंगे कि आपका परफॉर्मेंस कैसा है, आगे गए कि पीछे गए।
एंड वी कैन होल्ड आवर लीडर्स अकाउंटेबल, बिकॉज विदाउट डेटा टिल नाउ आई थिंक इन द कंट्री वी हैव बीन होल्डिंग लीडर्स अकाउंटेबल टू प्रोमिसेस, नॉट डेटा।
यस, सो डेटा के बिना बहुत मुश्किल होगा बताना कि कौन अच्छा कर रहा है, कौन बुरा कर रहा है, कौन एजुकेशन में ठीक कर रहा है, कौन खराब कर रहा है। तो वो आउटकम बेसिस, जो पहले हम लोग कभी आउटकम मॉनिटरिंग नहीं करते थे, अब हमें आउटकम मॉनिटरिंग ही केवल करनी चाहिए और कुछ नहीं करना चाहिए।
आई थिंक राइट पॉलिसीज विल बी साइड इफेक्ट ऑफ जस्ट मॉनिटरिंग द आउटकम।
बिल्कुल।
सम ऑफ द थिंग्स राइट दैट यू सेड, a link between labor force participation and economic prosperity. How do you explain that to a layman?
देखिए ऐसा है कि जब ग्रोथ होगी तभी जॉब्स क्रिएट होंगी, और इसीलिए मैं बार बार एम्फेसिस देता हूं कि ग्रोथ आवश्यक है, और ग्रोथ कुछ लेबर इंटेंसिव सेक्टर्स में भी आवश्यक है। इसीलिए हमने पीएलआई जब की, ना केवल बैटरी मैन्युफैक्चरिंग, ना केवल फोन मैन्युफैक्चरिंग पर की, पर उसको फूड प्रोसेसिंग और हम टेक्सटाइल में भी किया, क्योंकि हमारे विचार से ये सेक्टर्स को भी ग्रो करना आवश्यक है, क्योंकि यहाँ जॉब क्रिएशन और लेबर इंटेंसिटी बहुत हाई है, और आगे चल के टेक्सटाइल सेक्टर में इंडिया का बहुत पोटेंशियल है। कई टेक्निकल टेक्सटाइल्स देखिए, या मैनमेड फैब्रिक्स देखिए, ये सेक्टर अभी इंडिया ने एक्सप्लोर नहीं किए, और इन सेक्टर्स को पेनेट्रेट करना बहुत आवश्यक है।
ऐसा वन थिंग दैट आई वांट टू एम्फेसिस नाउ ऑन इज द राइट टाइम टू स्विच टू द हेटरोजेनिटी इन इंडिया, अ चैलेंज एंड एन अपॉर्चुनिटी।
तो देखिए इंडिया बहुत बड़ा देश है, ये यूरोप के 24 राष्ट्रों से बड़ा है, और कई एडवांटेजेस हैं हमारे यहाँ। जैसे हमने एक ग्रिड बना दिया, ये यूरोप में कहीं नहीं है एक ग्रिड, अमेरिका में नहीं है एक ग्रिड। दूसरा कि वैरायटी बहुत है, और टूरिज्म के पर्पसेस से देखिएगा तो ये अगले 5 वर्षों में मेरे विचार से एक क्षेत्र जिसको बहुत एक्सप्लोइट करने की आवश्यकता है वो है ट्रैवल एंड टूरिज्म, जो बहुत ग्रोथ दे सकता है और बहुत जॉब क्रिएशन कर सकता है। तो मेरा जो विचार है कि करीब जो वैरायटी है हिंदुस्तान की, हमारे हेरिटेज में, हमारे कल्चर में, हमारे वन डिस्ट्रिक्ट वन प्रोडक्ट में, हमारे तहजीब में, हमारे आर्ट फॉर्म्स में, हमारे क्विजीन में, ये सारा वैरायटी हमें ट्रैवल और टूरिज्म के लिए टैप करना बहुत आवश्यक है।
ऐसा द माय नेक्स्ट थिंग, बिकॉज आई एम ट्राइंग टू एक्सट्रैक्ट द मैक्सिमम वैल्यू, राइट, दिस इज अ ग्रेट अपॉर्चुनिटी दैट आई हैव गॉट विद यू। सो इनएफिशिएंट एलोकेशन ऑफ रिसोर्सेज इन इंडिया,
प्लानिंग प्रोसेस में ये होता था कि गवर्नमेंट डिसाइड करती है हर चीज को एलोकेट करना। मेरे विचार से गवर्नमेंट का रोल है एजुकेशन, हेल्थ, न्यूट्रिशन, बाकी सारे क्षेत्रों में हमें खोल देना चाहिए। हमें इंश्योर करना है कि हम टॉप क्लास क्वालिटी दें, लर्निंग आउटकम्स को इम्प्रूव करने दें, हम टॉप क्लास क्वालिटी दें हेल्थ आउटकम्स में, हम टॉप क्लास क्वालिटी दें अपने हर प्रेग्नेंट वुमेन को ट्रैक करें, सो दैट हम स्टंटिंग को खत्म करें, हम वेस्टिंग को खत्म करें, पर बाकी सारे रिसोर्स एलोकेशन हमें मार्केट पर छोड़ने चाहिए, और हमें मार्केट को देखना है कि कैसे परफॉर्म करता है। हमें यह दिखाना है कि आगे चल के, अभी कोविड के समय में भारत ने अपना कैपेक्स एक्सपेंडिचर इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर में बढ़ाया, 4.5% किया, पर आगे चल के प्राइवेट सेक्टर को कैपिटल एक्सपेंडिचर करना है, वो क्राउड प्राइवेट सेक्टर को क्राउड इन करना आवश्यक है इन सारे क्षेत्रों में, और इसलिए एफिशिएंट एलोकेशन ऑफ रिसोर्सेज तब होता है जब मार्केट वेल परफॉर्म करता है। और इसलिए मेरी जो बिलीफ हमेशा रही है कि मोनोपोलीज नहीं क्रिएट करनी चाहिए, ओलिगोपोलिस्टिक कैरेक्टर नहीं आने देना चाहिए, मार्केट को परफॉर्म इस तरीके से करना चाहिए कि हमारे यहाँ बहुत ज्यादा लार्ज कंपनीज हों, एमएसएमईज हों, एसएमईज हों, कांस्टेंट इनोवेशन हो, टेक्नोलॉजी डिसरप्शन हो और नए क्षेत्रों में हम आगे बढ़ते रहे।
सर, व्हाट्स योर एक्सपीरियंस बीन फॉर द लास्ट 10 इयर्स वर्किंग विद द करंट प्राइम मिनिस्टर?
सो द प्राइम मिनिस्टर इज वेरी आउटकम ड्रिवन, ही इज एक्सट्रीमली डिलीवरी ओरिएंटेड, he is a big picture man and I think he is a very big techie at heart. So I have seen him drive the digital transformation of India, and he'd once asked me to do 100 digital melas in 100 days, and I thought that was very difficult, and but he was very insistent. But when I look back at it, those 100 days enabled us to drive the digitization of India. Similarly, he made us do many presentations before we started the Startup India movement. I think one, first time, second time, third time, fourth time. But he breaks down silos and he looks at a very multidisciplinary perspective. So he said, don't look at it only from your department's viewpoint. Look at it from the viewpoint of creating incubators. Look at it from the viewpoint of IITs, IIMs, engineering colleges. Look at it from the viewpoint of the rules, regulations. Look at it from the viewpoint of venture capital. All perspectives were taken into consideration before the Startup India policy was announced. But once he announces the policy, then he leaves it to you and he wants you to deliver. Then he is very, very outcome oriented. Similarly, the aspirational district program, we made many presentations to him. Then he said, his views were very clear that we have to transform lives of citizens. In the most backward districts of India, don't call them backward, call them aspirational. And he said, use data, use governance and good governance. He met collectors of these districts several times on his tours and inspired and motivated them. And therefore, he's very data driven and I find him very, very technology oriented. That is why India has been able to open up the geospatial sector, space sector, drone sector. All these sectors would have never got opened up but for his passion for technology. And these are the sectors which will drive India's growth story in the future. And my belief is that his passion, his commitment for driving technology intervention has been transformational for India.
So, couple of things I want to ask out. Right? The first is, what are the institutions in India that you mentioned in your book? Second is the rewiring of institutions. And the third is the understanding of institutions' role in the economic growth of India.
So, I've dealt with institutions at great length because it's very important that institutions do not remain outdated. The bureaucracy must be lively, it must be vibrant, it must be dynamic. Similarly, every institution of India must keep pace with the new technologies which are intervening. And it'll be very difficult to transform the judiciary without the use of artificial intelligence. And to my mind, technology must play a key role in speeding up reforms in the judicial system in India, which the Chief Justice has been talking about and has done a lot. And similarly, in accelerating the pace of arbitrations in India and making India the center for business decisions in India and arbitration in India, mediation in India, all this, we need to create a completely big technological level jumping as to why our arbitration cases go to Singapore and London. They should all be done here. And this can only be done with the use of technology. We've demonstrated our ability to do this during COVID, and why should we not do this in every sphere of our existence today? This is very critical.
Yes, sir. Is the government also building new institutions, or are we only reliant on the older institutions?
So government has done several new things. For instance, it changed the Planning Commission into the Niti Aayog. It has built up a capacity building, building organization under, we have a new capacity skilling organization which has done path breaking work. It has trained over 10 lakh railway inspectors. It has trained all the police officials. It has trained cutting edge officials and has put on board a vast number of new skill programs on digitally, so that anybody can go and access and get himself trained digitally across the board in many of these areas. And therefore, these are new institutions which have been created and which will help us. Look at the Green Hydrogen Mission. These are all transformation. Look at the AI mission. Look at the quantum computing mission. These are completely new institutions which will enable India to leapfrog into the next century.
So how is the export of India changing? Because that is the one thing that will take us to a $60 trillion economy.
Okay, exports are important. Without exports, India will not be able to grow. And that's why when we drew up the production-linked incentive scheme, our aim was that create big champions. One single objective, have big champions. Big champions will create the momentum for small and medium enterprises. Big companies will produce to global scale. So every Indian startup must not think of only producing in India. You should think of the global market and how we are going to penetrate global market. You get 10x the value of what you produce in India in the global markets, and therefore penetrating global markets is a must. And without exports growing on a large basis, it will not be possible for us to be a $35 trillion economy. And therefore we need to penetrate global markets.
So one example that I have is like the largest companies of America, be you take Nvidia, Apple, Microsoft, Google, their valuations on the public markets are almost equal to the GDPs of India. Should we aspire to create that kind of companies, and how will we do that?
No, so we'll do that. Once you have innovation, once you have technology, once you have disruption, once you have startups, these startups, today's startups are tomorrow's large companies. That will all happen in due course. As you grow and expand, all your startups will grow and expand into large companies. We need to ensure that there is greater better corporate governance. We need to ensure that there is a fund of funds for deep tech. We need to ensure that there are many more women entrepreneurs in India, and India will grow and expand into creating many, many large companies in India.
You know, one thing that has been often said that, right, at some point in time, very recently, like the participation of women, since you mentioned that, in the economy was much lower than the Bangladesh. Right? How is that changing?
So that's the female labor participation ratio is showing improvement. It has jumped up to 37%. It should be close to 50% as we grow and expand. There's been a lot of analysis on this. A lot of women are now getting into higher education. That was one of the reasons. But I think the female labor participation ratio will improve in the years to come. But it's important that the huge emphasis has now been laid by the Prime Minister on women-led development. Huge emphasis has been laid on their education, their nutrition, and putting them into leadership position. And to my mind, this will be the biggest transformation. There are as many women as men in India. And what you will see in the coming years is India's GDP growing simply because there'll be many more women participating in Indian economy in the future. The World Economic Forum said that you need 132 years to bring equality between men and women. That we do not have 132 years. We need to do it in the next 5 to 6 years.
And so one of my last questions is, right, you mentioned, how do locational advantages differ? Like the case study between, let's say, Maharashtra and Uttar Pradesh.
So there are advantages of being a port state, and port enables you to have a quick turnaround and exports. That's important. But Uttar Pradesh, it's also important that it's a very fertile area. It's got adequate amount of water. We need to ensure that there is greater, better logistics, better infrastructure, better improvement in its social indicators, and UP will perform very well, and then we need to connect Uttar Pradesh with some of the ports close by. And once you are connected to the ports, UP will do very well in terms of transformation, as several of the new, you see many large manufacturing getting into Noida and Greater Noida. All this will be transformational for the future. And Uttar Pradesh also needs to do good sustainable urbanization in the coming years.
Sir, two of your favorite people that you constantly quote in your book, one is Michael Porter and the second is Albert Eichmann.
Yeah.
Right.
So, these are important people because we'd invited Michael Porter for the Niti lecture series, and what he brought about was that competition is key, public data is key, constant ranking is key, putting that out is important. And therefore my belief always has been that constantly create competition. Only when we compete with each other will we be able to excel. And put that data in public domain so that the competition pressure will force us to improve, whether it's districts, whether it's states, whether it's cities, whether it's human beings, all of us.
So, as a last parting message, right, what's your message to the youth, right? What should they aspire for in the next 5 to 10 years?
So, firstly, be very optimistic about India. Secondly, India is transforming. Become a part of that journey. Thirdly, always look at the decide on what you want to do and get into it and give your best for that. Because when you perform your best in that particular area, there's so many opportunities. From Mudra scheme to Drone Didi to Swanidhi scheme, you look at it. These are all transformational schemes for India. So, aap Drone Didi baniye ya naya entrepreneur baniye Mudra Yojana ke through, ya aap ek startup kijiye. ये सारी अपॉर्चुनिटीज हिंदुस्तान में खुली हुई हैं और यही एक अवसर है कि आप भारत को ट्रांसफॉर्म करने में बहुत महत्वपूर्ण रोल प्ले कीजिएगा. दिस इज एन अपॉर्चुनिटी फॉर ऑल ऑफ अस. व्हेन इंडिया ग्रोज वी ऑल ग्रो. व्हेन यू ग्रो इंडिया ग्रोज.
थैंक यू सो मच सर. इट्स बीन सच अ ग्रेट कन्वर्सेशन.
थैंक यू
एंड वुड लव टू होस्ट यू एट पॉइंट इन फ्यूचर एज वी कीप ऑन यू नो एक्सप्लोरिंग मोर नैरेटिव्स.
थैंक यू. माय प्लेजर. आई ग्रेटली एंजॉयड इट. थैंक यू.
थैंक यू सर.
थैंक यू.